mentioned by Chazal as the law, a commandment, that he gave a classic example, a symbol of inexplicability. The more those commandments of the Torah which are dictated by common sense and by human reason. Even if the Torah hadn't mentioned them, an ethical person would feel bound by these commandments. So these are commandments, even the Torah hadn't forbidden these things. So one should, on the basis of ethical consciousness, refrain from these areas. That's mishpot. And the Sarkesai Tishmiru, a chuko is a commandment that is not dictated by human reason. And if the Torah had not mentioned it, no human being would be able to think, to conceive of these commandments, these obligations, out of innate ethics. So, who gives a Mishneh with Vorim Shasotom Meshiva? Veilein, Chiras Chazir, Uvisha Shatnes, Uchvita Sivome, Vitaras Mitzere, Visoye HaMishtoreh. Vishem Ukeima Mazituhem, Toyuhem, Tamarina Ani Adishem Ani Hashem Chokakti, Veilucho Vishus Leharabet. Harashubet. So here, the Gemara doesn't mention Paradun. It mentions similar things, like the Chazir, the Mishashatnis, Utsa Sivome, Itaras Mitzirere, and the Seyam Zoreh. And Paradun it doesn't mention. But there are other Gemaras that mention Paradun as the most obscure command. Chazal say, the Shoyma HaMelech knew the time of Mitzvah. Suppose Mitzvah is even of a Yivu. He knew there is. But there is one command, Achas Rechei command. What is that? That is Paradun. And there is a Medrash that says that the Rebbe Yisholom revealed only to Moshe himself the real reason behind Paradun. The real is to make himself, and Moshe was told not to reveal it to anyone, because everything else, so the Rebbe Nishon would do to Moshe, had to be transmitted to further generations. But the term of Paradume is so obscure and so transcendental that the Rebbe Nishon told Moshe Rabbeinu not to reveal it to further generations. It was not written to be transmitted from door to door. So Por Adume, because of that, that's the reason as to why when the Gemara in Yumesh mentions the Chukim, so the Gemara mentions Achilles Chazir, the Shashatnes, why? Because Poradume is a category by itself. It is a chukah, of course, but this is the chukah par excellence, Poradume. Why? Because insofar as the other chukim are concerned, so they are strange. It's obscure. We don't know the reason. Our human limited mind cannot conceive of the real reason. But there are no contradictory qualities in Poradum. I mean, in these chukim. Masheinkin in Poradume, so besides the baffling and the obscure character of the commandment of Poradume, it has contradictory qualities, rendering the tomei toeia and the heretofore toeia tomei. So that's like he's stealing its own. That's why the Gemara here in Yume, Daf Samar Zayin, and the Teraskeni, when it mentions examples of Hokin, it doesn't include Poradume, because Poradume is a category by itself. It's unique. Among the Hokin, it's unique. Hukosha Hokakti Lochem, Eli Rishus Leharobahem. So that applies to all the Hokin. But Poradume is unique in its baffling, obscure character and in its contradictory qualities. The other Hokin, they're obscure, we don't know the reason, but there are no contradictory qualities, no stiras. Poradume, in its basic alohas, manifests contradictory qualities in rendering the heretofore unclean clean and the heretofore clean unclean. If for some reason it is capable of taking away to me, why does it impose to me upon a heretofore toil? Now, but even in respect to the other hukim, the Gemara mentions, "Bishemo teima masiteyuhem, tamulena ania bishem, ania shem chokakti, v'nichol v'shus laharben." What it might say, teyo means that there is no reason, there's no purpose. So, there's a posik, ani adishem chokakti yo, veim chol vishus lahar. What does it mean? Because of this posik, and suppose there hadn't been this posik, so one could chas v'sholem doubt the importance of the mitzvah for Adome, why do you have to? Gemara always mentions, shemot heima, so and so, tamul heima. So in other words, it is something that is considerable. And if the Torah hadn't spelled it out, I would say the contrary. But here, the contrary is chas v'sholem, is inconceivable. To say the contrary, that it's ma'isi toyu, it serves no purpose, so that would be kfir mamesh. So we have to mention it pasik? No, that the Jew shouldn't say kfir. And without this pasik, so I could say, the Jew is allowed to say kfir. It's so strange. But the real answer is that ma'isi toyu doesn't mean, has no purpose. No purpose, doesn't accomplish it. Of course, every commandment of the Torah has a purpose. But the Rambam, in the third book of the Mirin Ruchim, so he says that there are two theories entertained by various Jewish scholars in respect to the mitzvahs of Torah. There is one theory that is entertained by many Jewish scholars, philosophers, that we shouldn't look for time, because the mitzvah HaTorah does not have specific time. In other words, of course, all the commandments of the Torah have one general purpose. In other words, to instill the concept of Kabbalah Sil Ma'och HaShamayim in the psyche, in the mind, in the heart of every Jew and Jewess. So, but there is no specific purpose. Then there is a theory propounded by other Jewish scholars, and the Rambam is among them, that besides the general purpose of all the commandments of the Torah, common to all, of instilling the concept of Kabbalah Sil Ma'och HaShamayim, of unconditional submission to the will of God, so every mitzvah has a specific purpose. So let's say the mitzvah of Shabbos has one purpose, besides the general purpose that is common to all the commandments. And let's say the laws, the dietary laws, as they are called in English, of kashrus, of Veilen, Freifen, the Votome, and so on, have another specific purpose. So this, apparently, how the Rambam would explain Vishemeteo Maes Teo. Teo doesn't mean Chas V'Sholem, nonsense. Sometimes we use the term Teo, but Chas V'Sholem here, Teo means like we say, Meila Teo. You know, there's the Meila that would have existed before the creation of the world, before my separations, while the world was in a state of Teo Boveo. So what does it mean, Teo? It Meila Teo. That means nonsense, Chas V'Sholem. It means he does not lend itself into, I mean, it does not have any purpose, any specific purpose. So here too, Yishema Tina Masiteyu. In other words, of course, they have a general purpose of instilling the concept of Kabbalah Semach HaShemayim, but maybe Parat, these hooking don't have a specific purpose. So Talmud Leima, Ani Ad Yishem Ani Hashem Chokakti V'ilucho Yishus La'avim. Each commandment has its own specific purpose, but we, it's beyond our limited mind. But every mitzvah has a specific purpose. Now, Poradume, as I said before, is a special category by itself. And it's ever held up by our sages and by the Rishenim as a classic example of the inextricability of the commandment of the Torah. Because of its contradictory qualities of rendering the unclean clean and the clean unclean. And the clean unclean. Now, it is to be observed that Bimoro, when certain mitzvahs were revealed to Moshe as a preface to Kabbalah Satorah at Sinai, Moro preceded Sinai. So Moro was near, and then the revelation in Sinai was in Sin. So certain mitzvahs were revealed to Moshe at Moro. Which mitzvahs? Dinin, Shabbos, Kibbutz, and Paradum. Let's take a moment in Sanhedrin. Why were these mitzvahs revealed, not the other mitzvahs? Because these mitzvahs, it's a shame to say that. The Ramban mentions that, and it's really implicit in a certain medrash that the revelation of these mitzvahs of Dinim, Shabbos, Kibbutz, and Porah Adumeh were a prelude, a preface, an introduction to the Kabbalah Satorah of Sinai. In other words, in order that the Jews should be qualified to accept the whole Torah, they had to receive a revelation of these four mitzvahs at Moro. As a matter of fact, the Torah in the Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, refers Kasha Tzivisicho, Tzivisicho word, in Moro. So the purpose was to qualify the Jewish people, for Kabbalah Satorah. So we understand this, why Dini was revealed as a preface to the whole Torah, because without Dinim in its entirety represented a system of justice, human relations. So without the system of justice in the civil relationship between one individual and the other, it's impossible to become an ethical people. In order to become ready to become an ethical people and Mamlechaskin Kodesh, so the Jews had to train themselves in the art of justice and righteousness. We understand this right without, because Kibbutz is a basic commandment. It's the basic, it's based upon the most basic ethical concept, namely gratitude. Gratitude. The Chiddush HaAvoreis says in Shaar Avodas HaElokim that the concept of gratitude of Hakoras Teive is the Yiseida Yiseidus of the whole Torah. Everything in the Torah, every iota of the Torah is based upon the concept of gratitude, Hakoras Teive. And Kibbutz is based upon the concept of gratitude. And that's the reason as to why Kishva HaKosuf Kveili Shalovein Kveili Shalmokin Kishva HaKosuf Miroi Shalovein Miroi Shalmokin. So we understand as to why that had to be revealed to Klal Yisrael as a preface, as an introduction, as a prelude to the Kabbalah Sator, because the Jewish people wouldn't be qualified to become a Melachaskian and the Kodesh, to accept the Torah in its entirety, without the concept of Hakoras Teive as it is manifested in the mitzvah of Gemilah. And we understand Shabbos also, because Shabbos is the Yisod of the Torah. But why was Pora Adume, of all the commandments of the Torah, so these ethical commandments of Gemilah, Din, Shabbos were coupled with Paradum as a prelude to the Kabbalah Sator. Apparently, Paradum has a potential, to elevate the Jewish people so that the Jewish people will become qualified to accept the whole Torah and thereby become Imam Lachaskeya and Imam Gikolish. Why? Because Pora Adume is symbolic of the whole concept, not just the mitzvah of taking, of burning a red heifer and then the ashes and then sprinkle then the Maim Chayim, the living waters, upon the ashes and then sprinkle them, sprinkle the same upon Itomimus. It's much more than that. It is based upon a very all-embracing concept. Namely, what is the concept of Poradum? What's the concept of Poradum? The concept of Poradum is that in nature, in history, in the Torah, there are certain things that are beyond the inquisitive grasp of the human mind. Because Mother Man is special, it was true all the ages, but it is especially true of modern people. Modern people think that the human being, by having recourse to intelligence and to reason and to empiricism, can understand all the secrets of the world, provided he is given sufficient time and application. If you talk to a scientist, so he'll tell you, we'll discover everything. We have to be given time. We'll find a discovery, a cure for cancer and for all kinds of diseases, for mental retardation and for heart failure and for everything. But we need time. As long as we give us enough time and application, so we can discover everything. Of course, that makes men into an aggressive and arrogant being. And this is the source of all evil, of all ethical vice, arrogance. As I mentioned, the Rufo from my son of Yossi, the smack says that someone appeared to him in a dream and told him, you wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs and the most important, not important, actually I have to say, for everything is equally important, the most basic negative commandment and the all-embracing commandment, so you omit it. And that turned out to be the prohibition against arrogance. Azorim is going high. So modern man has a tendency towards arrogance, because modern man feels that the human being, by exploiting reason and empiricism, experimentation, can discover all the secrets of the universe. So the law of Para Adume, with its baffling prescriptions and contradictory qualities, comes to tell us, to remind us, that in nature, in the Torah, in history, so there are certain things that will always remain beyond the inquisitive grasp of the limited human mind. Now, there is the symbolic significance of Para Adume. I mean, we cannot talk about any other significance of Para Adume because it's too obscure, but we can talk about the symbolic significance of Para Adume. The symbolic significance of Para Adume is analogous to the symbolic significance of the mitzvah tzitzis. Now, what does the mitzvah tzitzis imply? That every Jew is to put on the corners of the garments he's wearing a white strand and a blue strand, trails. And then the Gemara Menachah says, So, what is the significance of the trailers, the blue color? The trailers, the inner yam, the inner rokia, and rokia doime rokis yakov. Because the blue color of the strand, so bears a resemblance to the sea, and the sea bears a resemblance, the color of the sea bears a resemblance to the rokia, to the color of the rokia, the skies, and the color of the skies bears a resemblance to the color of the kisyakov, the throne of God. Now the question arises, after all, the whole Yichas consists in the fact that it's Deinel Gisakot, in the fact that the Deinel Yahweh does not constitute such great significance. But it's Deinel Gisakot. So Chazal should say, Loma Nishtane Tchiles Mikol Tzimei Mishabateiro, Mipni Shetchiles Deinel Gisakot. No, Gemara doesn't say, Mipni Shetchiles Deinel Gisakot. Deinel. In other words, Tchiles Deinel Yam Deinel Rokia Deinel Gisakot. What's the pshat? But the mitzvah tzitzis with the commandment, the obligation of using a white strand with a blue strand in the corners of our garments is symbolic of the same concept of which Para Adume is symbolic, namely the limitations of the human mind. And the limitation of the human mind manifests itself in three areas. First, it manifests itself in the area of nature, the laws of nature and unscientific art. Then the limitations of the human mind manifest itself in the area of spiritual and ethical values and on Torah level. And then the limitations of the human mind, the concept of the limitations of the human mind, that there are certain things that are beyond the inquisitive grasp of the human mind, it manifests itself in the area of God's administration of the world and by the historical. Now, in the area of nature, in the realm of natural laws, and on a scientific level, so there are certain things that can be discovered. Science is really discovering many secrets of nature. But there are other things in nature that will never be discovered. It doesn't make any difference how much money will be spent, even if billions of dollars will be spent. So they won't be able to discover everything. They might be able to discover a cure for cancer. But cancer, even with the cure for cancer, of course it will save many human lives, but it will not solve all the problems of humanity. Even if a cure for cancer is discovered, there was a time where I remember when I was a little child in Poland, so many times, many years, so my family, my father, my mother, they rented what is called here a bungalow in Otwock, that's a summer resort. And in Otwock, so they had a sanitarium for tuberculosis patients. In those days, I remember, 55 years ago, so when I saw in Otwock a tuberculosis person walking in the garden, you know, this Italian had a garden. So then I was overcome with such a shock, because everybody felt that if a certain person is afflicted with tuberculosis, then it's like terminal cancer today. You know, yes, a doctor about a certain patient who suffers from terminal cancer. So what do I say? I mean, there's no hope for it. And unfortunately, the doctors appear to predict the truth. Unfortunately, you see. So whenever they say he has terminal cancer and his days are limited, his hours are limited. That's the way people looked at tuberculosis nowadays. In other words, if somebody suffered from tuberculosis, it was considered a sure death. And then with the discovery of the antibiotics and all these things, so tuberculosis is solved. People don't die now from tuberculosis. People don't die now from tuberculosis. Of course, sometimes you can meet a certain person die from tuberculosis. So you hear of certain women dying from giving birth to a child. I mean, everything happens, but it's very remote that a person should die from tuberculosis. But does that mean that the discovery for tuberculosis and pneumonia and the discovery of the antibiotics put an end to sickness? So we have other sicknesses that plague humanity. Maybe 55 years ago, we also knew of cancer. It was called Rak, Yiddish. But not so many people died from cancer today. So the mitzvah of tzitzis, with its commandment of fusing the white strand with the blue strand, symbolizes the concept that in the realm of nature, so on a scientific level, a person should not think that the human being, by exploiting reason and empiricism, will be able to solve all the problems, will find a cure for all sicknesses. He'll find a cure for certain sicknesses, and the time will come that mankind will deserve to have a cure for cancer. So then there will be a cure for cancer. There will be someone who will discover it. But there will still be sicknesses until you meet a Mashiach. So there will be sicknesses of all kinds. Unfortunately, these are the facts of life. So on one hand, Yadus advocates exploitation of reason and empiricism. I mean, there might be some Orthodox Jews who think that Yadus is opposed to the exploitation of reason and empiricism to science and art. It's not so. They're making a mistake. The Rambam in Chatzirach Shmiras Nefesh says, in connection with Avraham Eretz Yisrael, that it's a mitzvah for a father to teach Torah. Of course, that goes without saying. It's the biggest mitzvah. But it's a mitzvah for a father to teach science, wisdom, to the son. And Rabbi David Hanogid, in his Pirush on Pirkei Aveis, says that when Pirkei Aveis say that Yofet Alpirim Da'acharetz, so it's true that Da'acharetz many times in the Mishnah and the Gemara has referenced an occupation, but in this Mishnah and also the Braise in Broches in Hey, I think so, was after the Longho Omar of Ishmael Hanig Boy Mina Da'acharetz she had a bechira ish bishosh and yod a bechira ish vizereya bishosh and yod a bechira. So Rabbi David Hanogi, the Rambam's grandson, says that there are herds. Hanim Zechad doesn't mean you have to have an occupation to make a living. They have no sense of it. But there are herds means everything, every endeavor that is conducive to the upbuilding of the world, that's there are herds. Their hearts, and when he says Yofet on Torah in their hearts, so it also has reference to every endeavor that is conducive to the upbuilding of the world. So Yadus does advocate the exploitation of reason and empiricism, the cultivation of the sciences and arts, but this is the white strength aspect of religious systems, because white is symbolic of clarity, of that which is obvious, and intelligible. But we have to fuse the white strand, the concept of pursuing that which is intelligible and obvious, of exploiting human reason. We have to fuse it with the blue strand. The blue strand is symbolic of mysticism, of transcendentalism, of obscurity. So there are certain in the area of nature, there are certain segments that can be discovered through the exploitation of reason and empiricism. But on the other hand, there is such a wide area, much larger segment in the realm of nature that will never be discovered, never. Even with thousands of years of empiricism and experimentation. So that is symbolized by the blue stream, And we have to pursue the cultivation of science in that segment of nature where exploitation of reason and empiricism is effective, but we have to know wider segments in the realm of nature that are beyond the inquisitive grasp of the human mind. Of course, let's say Newton discovered the law of gravity. Universal law of gravity. It's a very important law. That was discovered. But does that mean that we understand the phenomena in nature? Why is there gravity? Well, the only thing we can say, that was the will of God, that there should be gravity. That we cannot go beyond that. And this is mentioned by the Gemara in Chagiga. So Mikzeh, Kishalno Yomim Rishenim. Kishalno liyomim resheni, ashahoyle fanecho. It's in Dvorim Dalet, in Eschanon. Kishalno liyomim resheni, ashahoyle fanecho. Mayim ashaboro alikim odom al oretz. ומקצה השמיים ועצה השמיים הניע כדובר הגודל הזה הוא יעניש מהקומיו so מקצה השמיים ועצה השמיים התושל ודרש וחנקר ואין התורה שואל לישל וליטריש מעל מיילו, מעל מטו, מעל לפעמים מעל מור so in other words there is a limitation upon the exploitation of human reason we can pursue the cultivation of science in finding out the nature of every animal, of every vegetable, of every plant, and the laws of nature, but we cannot go too far. We cannot explore in the areas of Malimailo, Malimato, Malifonim, Malachem. There is, while there is a clear area of that which is intelligible, so there is a much, but by far, a much wider area of that which is obscure and mysterious and transcendental and beyond the inquisitive grasp of the limited human mind. So Chazal say, Man ishtane tchiles mikol tzivini shematiyor, because tchiles is symbolic of the concept of transcendence and of obscurity, that there are certain things. There are certain things in nature, in history, and in the Torah that will never be understood. Never. So he says, Tcheles Dimelya. Now, the waves of the sea are symbolic of the laws of nature and of the scientific approach, because all of science is based upon the concept of causation, causality, and waves are symbolic of causation. How one wave pushes the other wave is transmitted to the other drop of water. One wave, you start a wave in one drop of water, so that brings about, that entails a whole series of ripples. So Yam is symbolic of the laws of nature and of the scientific level. And the Tcheles Dimel Yam, that there is a transcendental area in the realm of nature which is wider than the area that is intelligible and clear. And then Yam Dimel Orkia. Orkia is symbolic of spiritual and moral values. So in the realm of spiritual and moral values, and on the Torah level, there are also certain halachas that will always remain obscure. This is what Torah Adumah teaches us. There is a limitation. There are certain things in the Torah word that can be understood, and we have to understand them. But once we say Allah HaMish B'Sinai, then we cannot go beyond that and just try to explain why is it good instead to explain it. It's nonsense, because it's already in the transcendental realm, in the obscure realm that is beyond our inquisitive grasp. So Yam Demelakia, in the same transcendental concept that applies to the realm of nature in a scientific level, applies also to the Rokia, to the realm of spiritual and moral values in our Torah level, and Torah level. So of course there are certain things that can be understood and have to be understood. But we have to understand everything. We have to understand Parah Adumah also, what the law of Parah Adumah tells us. But then to ask, why is it like that? Why is it mitayat meim? Mitayat meim and mitamei etoyim. That's already transcendental. And Rokia Dimri Kisakobi, the throne of glory in Chazal, is always has reference to God's administration of the world. So, that's the Kisei HaKovit, the Merkava. I mean, the prophecy, the revelation, the Cheskit, that we read Shavuos morning of the Merkava, so is expressive, and it describes the God's administration of the world. So in the realm of God's administration of the world, and on a historical level, there are also certain things that can be understood, but there is a wider area that will always remain transcendental. Always. Always. So, now, Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rebbeinu Shalom, in Parshat Sisa, Hareinu no es drachecho. Chazal say that he wanted to know why Sadiq Virale and Roshavitim. I mean, this phenomenon that we find in history, that righteous people sometimes suffer so much and wicked people prosper, has baffled every human being, Jew or Gentile, saint or villain, but it has baffled even the Nevi'im. Habakkuk raised that question. Why is there such a phenomenon of Tzadik Virale in Rosh Vedele? Moshe Rabbeinu himself inquired of the Rebbeinu Shalom, Hareini no ezrachecho, what is the reason for these historical episodes that show that many times righteous people suffer so much and wicked people prosper? So what did the Rebbeinu Shalom tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Kimitim nitzavto atzo, v'hoyo ba'aveir kveili, v'samticho v'nichas atzo, v'sakei si chapi orech adobo, v'asirei si eskapi, v'roiso es achoirai, u'fonai lo yiro. What does it mean, the expression, v'roiso es achoirai, u'fonai lo yiro? It cannot be understood literally chas v'sholem. So the Alkut Shemaini says that the expression has reference to historical events when these are viewed and considered retrospectively, many, many years later, after a certain historical episode has unfolded itself in a full way, and then you look at it, you know, you consider it retrospectively, so then you can understand. And finally, all has reference to the historical events when they are looked at while they are being unfolded before our eyes. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand certain episodes in history, certain episodes like the Holocaust, or the Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, all these phenomena of Tzadik Virale, as the Ramban points out, I mean, the Rosh HaBitevlei did not baffle the Nevi'im so much, the Nevi'im and the Chacham. Because after all, the Rebbeinu Shalom is a Racham V'Chanon, so he blesses Yidm V'Shoy. But what baffled the Nevi'im and the Chachomim was the fact that while we find wicked people who prosper, so at the same time, side by side with the prospering and the wealth and success of wicked people, like the Nazis and the Arabs and so on, we have another phenomenon of Tzadik Virale. We have the suffering. So that's what baffled, the Ramban says, the Nevi'im and the Chachamim. So when one looks at historical events as these episodes are being unfolded before their eyes, that's ufana liro. We cannot understand. then it is beyond the inquisitive grasp. But when you look at historical events thousands of years later, after a historical episode has fully unfolded itself, and we look at them at retrospectively, then we can understand. It's like a painting, you know. That's what artists tell me, that in order to appreciate a good piece of art, you have to look at it from a distance. You cannot stand mamish near the painting and appreciate the beauty of that painting. Only if you stand at a distance. So the historical episodes represent the divine cosmic paintings. So we cannot appreciate them when we stand close to the painting. How can we expect to understand the and understand everything? So this is what Chazal means. The yam is symbolic of the waves and the principle of causation of the scientific approach, and yam din rokia is symbolic of moral and spiritual values on the Torah level, and rokia din rokisi Kisiakovid is symbolic of the God administration of the world on a historical level. So we have to fuse. We should try to understand history from the standpoint of reason, but there are certain things that cannot be understood by means of reason. So we have to fuse the white strand, which is symbolic of reason, clarity, so, and intelligibility, with the blue strength, which is symbolic of that which is mysterious, that which is obscure, that which is transcendental. In the realm of the God administration of the world, on a historical level, in the realm of spiritual and moral values, on a total level, and in the realm of nature, on a scientific level. So we have to fuse the white strand with the blue strand. And this is the concept of Poradume. Poradume teaches us that while we have to have recourse to reason and intelligence, we have to exploit the scientific approach and empiricism, but there is a limitation on the exploitation of reason. And we cannot go too far. In respect to Torah, so the Torah says, Torah tzivolun Moshe meyrosho kilas yam. Chazal made the comment in the heaven, al tikro meyrosho elu meyuroso. There is a marriage between the Jewish people and the Torah. In respect to wisdom, so the Pasuk in Mishle says, tell wisdom, thou art my sister. What's the meaning of thou art my sister? What's the meaning of that Pasuk in Mishle? Tell wisdom, tell science, tell reason, tell intelligence, thou art my sister. But as much love as a brother entertains for a sister, the devoted brothers entertain an indescribable amount of love for his sister. But with all the love that a brother might profess for his sister, there is a limit. He cannot merge with his sister, he cannot marry his sister. If he marries his sister, then the marriage is incestuous and the offspring is bound to be illegitimate. The attitude of Yadus is that we should exploit reason and empiricism. We should cultivate the arts and the sciences. Because Ashabor Alekim Lassis, I mentioned it many times, the Sifut, the Hiskuni and the Venetra say, what does it mean Ashabor Alekim Lassis? What does it mean Ashabor Alekim Lassis? So Ashabor Alekim Lassis means that when the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world, when the Rebbeinu Shalom created man, he didn't create the world in perfect form. He didn't create the human being in a perfect form. On a physical and level, he didn't create, the Rebbeinu Shalom did not create the human being in a perfect way, because the human being was created and comes to the world with so much imperfection. The human organism is subject on a physical level to all kinds of diseases, heart failure, mental retardation, cancer, strokes, whatnot. I mean, so many sicknesses and so many weaknesses, there are so many imperfections on a physical level in the human organism. And then on a spiritual level, so everybody knows there are certain instincts in them, in the man, king, the tiger, the covet, that tend to involve the human soul. Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom create the human organism with so many imperfections? Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom create the world at large with so many imperfections? Why was it necessary to have a phenomenon of earthquakes and fires with so much suffering? Why? Because if the Rebbeinu Shalom had created the world and the human being in perfect form, then there would be nothing left for the human being to do. What would the human being be? He could be a spiritual robot, best. There wouldn't be any freedom, there wouldn't be any happiness, there wouldn't be any joy. But just because the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world at large and the human being in an imperfect form and left zones that were not created, that are still tail-rail, there is such a wide area in the human organism that is still in the state of tail-rail, with all the scientific discoveries, with the antibiotics and all the cures and the vaccinations. So there is such a wide zone of tail-rail which is not as yet created. So there is something left for men to do, to become a shutef of the kabiyochel, in perfecting the world and in perfecting the human being on a physical level and on a spiritual level, by counteracting the destructive and chaotic forces that rage within the universe, that rage within the human organism, that rage within the human psyche. So Ashabor Alekim Lassis, the Nessa says, and the Chizgun, and the Chizgun. So because of that, so because of that, we have to perfect the world, and thereby become a shutef of the Kabbalah in perfecting the world. Ashabor Alekim Lassis. And this is but to a degree. But we should always remember that no matter how much we discover, how much we accomplish, how much we achieve, so there is a much wider area that will always remain mysterious and transcendental and obscure. This is the concept of Purim.